Well, there was a pretty cool tribute to Montreal last night. In their season opener, they played a video that went about 2.5 minutes to remember goalie great Ken Dryden. And then the crowd just cheered and cheered and chanted. They went nuts as the video ended because the ice was still dark with only one spotlight over the Montreal net. And on top of the net was Dryden's famous red, white, and blue mask sitting there under the spotlight in the arena. Nothing else was lit. It's a very cool moment that's being shared a lot on social media this moment. Very, very neat to see. The Canadians would go on to beat Seattle 5-4 in overtime. Leafs were winners, too. They beat Nashville. Calgary lost again. What else is new to the Knights? And the Oilers shut out New York at home 2-0 there. The Rangers have made NHL history in the worst way possible, going scoreless in their first three games at Madison Square Gardens. Well, Ontario Premier Doug Ford said yesterday he respects our Premier Scott Moe, but they see things differently when it comes to those EV tariffs on China.
I had a conversation the other day. Scott called me up and said, hey, I got to protect my province. I get it. I get why Wab Canoe and Scott are saying, you know, drop the tariffs. But I have to do the same thing, and I respect their sector. They ship about $4.9 billion to China on canola. Well, look at our auto sector. It's 157,000 workers, direct jobs, indirect. Multiply that by four times. We've seen over $46 billion of new investments. So I respect what they're doing, but there's no damn way we should drop tariffs on China. I'll tell you that.
Doug Ford in Toronto yesterday reacting to comments made to CTV by China's ambassador to Canada, who bluntly said China will lift its tariff on canola if Canada lifts its tariff on EVs.
So if Canada removes the unilateral unjustified tariffs on Chinese products, China will also reciprocate accordingly. And if the EV tariffs are removed, then China will also remove the tariffs on the relevant products of Canada.
Now, even worse news this morning for Doug Ford. Stellantis just announced it's moving Jeep Compass production, originally slated for Brampton plant, to Illinois in the U.S. Stellantis says it'll invest $13 billion to expand its U.S. operations, adding 5,000 jobs there. And this move directly impacts about 3,000 Canadian jobs. And Ford now busy using social media this morning to suggest he needs the federal government to stand up for the 157,000 workers in Ontario's auto sector and to keep those tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. But on the other hand, our Premier Scott Moe said on social media this week, it's time for Ottawa to get the deal done on behalf of 200,000 Canadian workers and be rid of those EV tariffs. Even Manitoba Premier Wab Kadu has said in a letter that while protecting our automotive sector is important, the current approach has created a two-front trade war that disproportionately impacts Western Canada. Lots of provincial anxiety out there. BC's David Eby isn't holding back either. He feels the feds care more about industries in central Canada than the lumber industry in his province. Side note, the biggest furniture manufacturer is using BC lumber out east, but nonetheless, even Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre was asked directly if Canada should drop tariffs.
I think what's happening is that the Chinese government sees in Mark Carney a very weak prime minister, and as a result, they're taking advantage of that.
Do you agree that Canada should drop its tariffs on Chinese EVs if China will drop tariffs on EVs?
Well, I take a different view. I think that what we should do is tell the Chinese government that we're going to remove the billion-dollar loan for BC ferry, for China to build BC ferries, because we should not be giving $1 billion of taxpayers' money to a country that's targeting our farmers and fishermen.
Didn't exactly answer whether or not he would drop the EV tariffs there, though, did he? Anyhow, in the meantime, you've got Prime Minister Mark Carney juggling, like he's got a juggling act to keep the leader of our number one trading partner happy. He seems to be playing the old relationship game with Trump, who has his own contentious relationship with China. Perhaps for that reason, Carney feels we can't afford to drop the tariffs. But it would sure be nice if he at least would say directly to us, publicly, what the plan is. Anyhow, that's politics. Yes, looking forward to having a night to remember with the Alzheimer's Society of Saskatchewan. Tomorrow night, our big gala is on, and Brooke Smith tells me we're booked up on the tables for the gala, but you may want to take us up on an offer of coming out for the concert.
No, unfortunately, the casino has wanted their numbers, so we're steamrolling ahead with that. The nice thing is, we do have entertainment-only tickets. Our entertainer this year is Megan Nash and The Best of Intentions, and she is a singer-songwriter now in the Moose Jaw area. Just entertainment tickets at $40 for the evening. Doors will open for that about 8:55. The nice thing about our entertainment-only tickets as well is you will have a chance at some of the silent auction items, which is super exciting. And then, of course, you get to come and sit for about an hour's worth of Megan's music as well.
And support the Alzheimer's Society of Saskatchewan right here in our own hometown. So looking forward to that tomorrow night. If you want tickets, contact Brooke on their website. Of course, tonight, the Jays are the focus. They're in tough, down 2 to the Mariners, and only 3 teams have lost their first 2 games at home, only to come back and win the best of 7. There is an opportunity for it to happen. The Jays faithful are, well, hoping. Like we talked to Shem Parkinson in Toronto, big Jays fan.
I really think we had a real emotional high with the Yankees. That was like our World Series, and then being down 0-2 is rough. In the first series, our bats were loud as ever, right? Vladdy was hitting, Springer was hitting, everybody was hitting, doing really well. And then I don't know what it is about Seattle. And again, these are home games for us, right? It's not like we're playing on the West Coast at the time. This is not good being in this hole right now. We're just not living up to what we did in the first round against the Yankees, and it's really depressing because I can tell you the energy in this city, Rogers Center is absolutely packed. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this team. We're all a little bit sad that we're down right now, but I still think that people feel like this team is resilient enough. We got a bunch of very blue-collar guys on this team, and I think people feel like, you know what, we're down, but we're not out.
One Blue Jays fan out of Toronto, not giving up yet. Shem Parkinson. Well, this may help you, too. Back in May when Seattle was hot in the regular season, the Jays went into Seattle and swept the Mariners 3-0. So they need to do that again. If you want to have the time of your life dancing away the night, the Regina Symphony Orchestra is presenting ABBA like you've never heard them before. They're calling it a symphonic tribute. They've got the band in town again, Jeans and Classics. They've worked with them previously on other artists where they perform songs of super groups and the orchestra accompanies. It's going to be fun, and it's free for you if you're the 10th text through. 10th text through at 1-877-300-7275. Got to include your first and last name, and if you're the 10th text that my producer Frank counts to, then he'll reward you with a pair of tickets to go for free. 1-877-300-7275. Hey, this week we're welcoming the host of Real Ag on the Weekend, Mr. Sean Haney, to become a regular weekly guest. Every weekday, in fact, Sean now offers a daily ag commentary, and here to explain what he wants to chat about on those commentaries, even EV tariffs on canola too, Mr. Sean Haney. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's nice to hear you every day. Weekday is something we need to know in the ag world. What sort of subjects are you going to tackle?
Well, you know, we've been doing Real Ag on the Weekend for quite some time across Saskatchewan, and just kind of felt that why wait to the weekend, right? Why not just every weekday bring some commentary? Because there's so much happening right now in the world of agriculture. Really take the opportunity, a minute every single day, to provide some perspective and make sure people are up to date on what is happening in the industry of agriculture, because the industry of ag is so critical to the economy of Saskatchewan. So I think everyone's really going to enjoy it, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk trade, we'll talk economics, we'll talk about what's going on in the farm and the ranch, and really try to break it down for everybody.
Sean, I know you're constantly circling back and forth through the Western Prairies here. Summarize the year in crops this year. How did the fields look, and what are farmers telling you?
Yeah, so I think, you know, overall, there is concern about profitability in the cropping sector, for sure. There's obviously a lot of trade challenges when it comes to exports to China, as everybody is very well aware of. But when we think from an agronomic perspective, The yields were pretty good. You think about what happened in 2024. We started out really well. A crop like canola really disappointed in the back end of the year as we got into harvest because of the hot, dry weather. This year is kind of the opposite. We started out not the greatest, and Mother Nature came through with some timely rains. And I would say most farmers would say average yield to above average in some cases, and some people really happy with some of their yields out in the fields.
Sean Haney, my guest, hosted the Real Ag Minute now. Weekdays, you're going to hear it every day. Sean, I talked to a few of my farming friends, and they had adjusted. Less canola. Did you hear a lot of that happening this year, too?
Yeah, acres were down in Western Canada, although you know, if you look at some of the breakdowns on the profit and loss statements, canola was one of the better performing crops from a profit loss standpoint because of how strong the yields were. So, you know, I was talking to a grower yesterday who actually regretted planting less canola and wish he would have maybe put a little bit more in the ground than ended up deciding to do so. It'll be a big question in the 26 crop. What happens with acres, especially if this China tariff issue continues? We're really going to need things like new trade customers, as well as obviously maybe potentially an increased amount of canola going into something like renewable diesel in the biofuel market, where we've got, you know, considerable crush capacity being expanded in Saskatchewan.
As we are literally, no pun intended, being crushed with this canola tariff, it really does not seem like there's any end in sight at the moment there, does it?
No, there's not really a path right now. The issue is definitely not as simple as just lifting those EV tariffs. That is, there's no surety that that would result in the lifting of the canola tariffs by China. And also, you know, those EV tariffs are in place because of working with the White House, who we are currently trying to also finding a calmer trade environment. So Canada really, really playing a game here of trying to get to the other side of this without any sort of trade casualty, or at least limit some of the loss. When it comes to those canola tariffs, it really feels sort of like what we've seen with beef ever since that atypical case of BSE going back, 4 years now. We still have challenges with China on that. So I would not expect a real quick resolution here.
Well, we always like the ag information you give us on the weekend. So now a Real Ag Minute every day this week and weeks to come. Sean, thanks so much for doing that with us. Thanks for this, too.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks for the interest in agriculture.
Yeah, they're staying just a little bit longer. A 2-year extension for the GM and head coach in Rider Nation. CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray joining me for a comment on that. But first, I want to play this, Britton, before I get to you, as you asked Trevor whether or not he wanted to start and what the coach was saying on Friday. He got a bit of a tiff going here.
Trevor, over the next couple of weeks, Corey Mace has to decide rest versus rest, if you rest some starters or not. Well, you know how your body's feeling. Could you use a week off, or do you want to play those last two games?
I'll fight him. Make sure you guys tell him I said that.
You know, like we had planned, we squared up, and as you could figure, I'm coming out clean.
He's coming out clean, Britton. You started up a little brouhaha there.
I mean, I didn't mean to. I thought it was a pretty fair question to ask here. Trevor Harris, 39 years old. When I've looked at a few of his games recently, it felt like the arm strength wasn't quite there. But then he still completes some deep passes. That's why I said it's really up to him. How's he feeling? And we know how he wants to play every game. But that's not going to be the case this week.
Okay. Well, we knew Mayer was taking the reps. Yesterday, what did you see at practice?
Yeah, about the same. Jake Mayer's taking all the reps with the starters. Trevor Harris was out there. He'll probably be on the roster just as the third quarterback and everything, but it's going to be Jake Mayer and a lot of backups. Del Duncan Busby starting, Joe going to be starting. Sean May Jr., this will be the first chance we really get to see him with the first team offense. On defense, I don't expect to see Marcus Sales or Roland Milligan out there. Though Tavon Campbell, he was out there running with the ones. Looks like he might make his return here. Now, he's one of those starters I think you do need to play because he has been out for so long and kind of get his game feet under him these next couple of weeks.
See Jamie Ryder reporter Britton Gray from Ryder practice yesterday. That's what you saw there. And in regards to the extensions of contracts here, let's talk about this. 2 years for Jeremy O'Day and Coach Mace. It seems like a no-brainer to me. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense, even though these guys both still had another year under contract. They were under contract through next season already. But the culture's just been changed here in Saskatchewan. And a big part of that has been Jeremy O'Day's decision to hire Corey Mace and the fact that the two work really well together. They looks like they have the same they want the same kind of players here. They want to run the same sort of system and everything. And you have to really work in tandem, and it feels like that's what's working. And, I mean, success also makes it really easy, right? The Riders make it to the West Final last year. They're going to host the West Final this year. Like you say, it just makes a lot of sense already as this team wants to build sustained success. And part of that is keeping guys around for a long time, keeping things the same. That's going to be the case here in Saskatchewan.
Well, yesterday in the Green Zone, Locker out with an upper body injury. That's all I know about that. You helped fill in nicely along with Jamie Nye yesterday. And the two of you were talking about, hey, you know what, when you look at it here, the next big deal for these guys is to sign a quarterback for next year, right? Because at present, there is no contract for one in 26, is there?
Not for Trevor Harris. He signed one-year extensions when he signed that. It was to, he said, every contract's pretty much a one-year for him. We don't know what's going to happen. And so how this season ends is going to be very interesting in what this team decides to do, right, and what they elect to do with Trevor Harris next year if he does indeed want to come back. And, I mean, the way he's been playing, why wouldn't you? It seems like he's going to be able to stave off Father Time here for a little bit longer. But where's the future? Because eventually, Trevor Harris, he's not playing forever. Where's the guy who's going to be here for the next decade or at least 5 years, right? That's the decision they have to decide. That's why this is important for Jake Mayer these next couple of weeks. Go out there, show what you can do. Is he worth the investment? And I think this team still really likes Jack Cohn and the way he's developing. So I expect there to be quite the battle next year for at least the backup quarterback spot, if not the starting spot, with him heavily involved.
Well, Mr. Britton Gray, do you expect Trevor Harris to at least appear for part of the game against the BC Lions? Obviously, he's going to miss this one here, but do you think he should at least get, you know, half a game for a bit of a tune-up before the West Final?
Yeah, exactly that. If I was the coaching, I would give him at half a game just to make sure he's ready. And this offense still has some things to work out, as there's been a bunch of new faces coming in and out of it because of injury. So I would give him a half. Though maybe if Matthew Betts gets by and gets him a sack in the first quarter, you take him out then, because you need Trevor Harris healthy for this playoff run.
Well, judging how we wanted to fight the coach here to get in this game, maybe that's what it'll come to, and you'll be stirring the pot, I'm sure, next week about that. Hey, Britton, thanks for the update.
Not a problem.